Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
In the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28, it's a scripture that was later used in Acts during Peter's first message as he came out and preached after the day of Pentecost. And he quoted some different scriptures out of the Old Testament. This is one of them, Joel chapter 2, verse 28. It says, "After doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions." Amen? I want us to focus on dream dreams and see visions. Now, I know that God can supernaturally give vision and dreams, and there are some that would say that they've had a vision or a dream, but the Word here says that He will pour out His Spirit on all flesh, right? Thus giving all flesh the ability to dream dreams and see visions. How do you believe that? God said He would do that on all flesh. But if I went around this room and I began to ask, how many of you feel like you've had a vision or dream from the Lord? It would be very few, probably, compared to across the whole room. If you said, I really believe this was a vision or dream from the Lord, some would say, well, I don't know. I don't know if it was a dream or a bad Mexican, you know, that I was feeling, you know. Because we question. Well, was that of God? We have a dream sometimes, and we're like, well, I don't know. I don't know if that was it or not. Or we think we see something, and, you know, we're just not sure how to translate it or dissect it. We don't know, do I go tell someone about this? And what if they think I'm crazy? What if, you know, anybody felt that way? You probably had something, then you're like, I hate to say this. And then it's oftentimes, you know, I know Jamie and I have had these conversations. Oftentimes he'll be feeling something or something, and then we'll get up and say it, and he goes, I was feeling the same thing. You know? Anybody ever done that? You know, that's how I know when the Lord started giving me visions. I would see something, and I could see it, visualize it. And when I did, sometimes they were things that I was like, ooh, that's crazy. I shouldn't have had that thought. You know, I'm rebuking myself. Anybody ever been there? I'm rebuking myself on that. And then all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, it comes to pass, and I'm like, ooh, man, okay. That was the Lord warning me, preparing me, right? You know, begin to see how He works. You know, sometimes when we think of dreams, we think that that the Lord comes to us in this mighty way when we're asleep, and it's just this bright light, and we feel like we're floating on clouds, and God gives us something special. You know, or to get a vision, you feel like you got to be in here and the worship's got to be just right and the temperature's got to be just right. And then all of a sudden you're in the presence of God and then you see a vision. Right? Anybody ever felt that? You know, you think it's got to be so super spiritual to have a dream or vision. You know, a lot of times people get this way when it comes to this. You know, but if we're looking at the scripture and He says that I want to pour out my spirit on all flesh. That He was talking about in the day of Pentecost when He poured out His Spirit, right? We just celebrated Pentecost a couple weeks ago, right? Talked about Pentecost and how God came and He poured out His Spirit, and it was a great salvation message, and they began to preach, and people began to get saved. People began to hear the Word of the Lord in their own language. You know, we focus so much when it comes to pouring out of His Spirit that it comes with the evidence of speaking in tongues, right? You've heard that a lot, especially in, you know, Pentecostal, charismatic churches, whatever you want to call it, spirit-filled churches, I don't know what you call it. But you, that's what you've heard, right? But you know, there's so much more than Pentecost than just to receive the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's very little compared to what God did on Pentecost. But that's what we focus on. We focus on many people. Well, do you have your prayer language? Do you have your prayer language? Well, did that happen at, you know, that happened at Pentecost, so it's here for you today. And it is. We focus on that. And then a few people We say, oh, well, they have the ability to prophesy. Oh, you know, they have the gift of prophecy. Well, that's great. But the word says your sons and daughters will prophesy. Hello? Is anybody here a son? Is anybody here a daughter? Does anybody here have a son or have a daughter? Well, I think I got everybody. Because if God says, I'm going to pour it out on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions, and I won't go into the age thing for you all today. But I believe that we have the ability to have dreams and visions from the Lord. I believe God wants us to have dreams and visions from Him. Amen? So I want you to go on this journey with me for just a little bit. How many of you have ever thought about your future? Anybody ever thought about your future? You know? Made plans? Maybe where you'd like to be in 10 years or 20 years. Or you got a plan? Say, well, you know, I'd like to have this in 10 years or 20 years. You know? We think about things, don't we? Anyone ever sat around just kind of dreaming of what life could be like, right? Maybe if you had a certain job. We've got some college graduates in here that are looking at jobs. Maybe they're kind of thinking, man, got this dream of what this job may look like. Or you've had an idea of what it would be like to start your own business. Everybody ever had a dream about that? Began to look into that. Oh, man, what would this look like, you know? Anybody have dreams? Anybody ever have goals in life? Well, I know that I've heard ladies say, you know, that they're looking for the man of their dreams, right? So married men look over at them and say, thank you, you're welcome. So at least one dream came true, right? There you go, hallelujah, I got one thumbs up. Not from a lady, though, I don't understand. But we talk about dreams and things that we think about in life and visions. And you know, some people, you ever heard, oh, well, stop sitting around daydreaming. You ever heard about that? Anybody ever heard? You're just daydreaming. They tell people to stop that. Why? Why do we got to stop daydreaming? You know who wants to tell you to stop daydreaming? An employer that wants to keep you under his thumb always. That someone that wants to hold you down, that doesn't want you to have anything good for you. Hey, stop thinking of a better job, okay? You know, stop thinking of better in your life. I want you to just do what you're supposed to do right now. They tell you to stop daydreaming. I've heard that. Stop daydreaming. But I think we have to begin to daydream. Because when you think about your future, you're envisioning what life could be like, right? You're envisioning what life could be. What's wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with envisioning what life could be like? Because I know that we have these goals in life. You know, I was looking up the difference between envision and vision. It says envision sees or imagines something within the mind. Envision sees something as if it was true. What's the difference? What's the difference? Envision is I see something in the mind, but vision sees it as if it were true. Well, I don't know about you, but when I start to see it in my mind, I begin to see it as if it were true. And the only thing that takes it from just envisioning and daydreaming it to making it a vision of reality is faith. Faith, right? You know, there's a scripture, Hebrews 11:1. It says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It shows us the reality of what we hope for, what we envision, what we dream about. Faith shows us the reality. At first, it starts in your mind. It's just a thing you're thinking about. But as you begin to apply faith to that, it becomes a vision that you can see. It becomes a dream that you're set after. So it says, faith shows us the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. How many of you got some dreams you haven't seen yet? I got some dreams I haven't seen yet. There's some things that I want to see, some promises from God. Not just dreams that I've had, but promises from God that I've got that I haven't seen yet. But you know what? I have faith and I can envision those things happening. But I can envision in those things happening, right? Because I've applied faith to it. When you daydream or when you envision what life can be like, you're exercising your imagination. And what if the only thing broke from dreaming dreams and seeing visions was our imagination? What if that's what's broke? What if the only thing holding us back from Joel 2:28, from what happened on the day of Pentecost, is our own imagination? I think over the next 3 weeks, I want to try to show you ways that we can begin to fix our imagination. Because I believe if we find a way to fix our imagination, we can see the things that God has for us. Amen? When I was a kid, I had a very vivid imagination. Hello. Some of you may say I still do. And to that I say thank you. But I had a vivid imagination. I mean, if my dad was watching a Western movie, I'd get up and I'd run in the other room and I'd go find my toy pistols. Yes, I had toy pistols. I'd go find a bandana. I'd go get a cowboy hat and I'd come run in the room to watch the TV with him, right? Every once in a while, I'd even take mom's piano bench and spin around sideways like I was sitting on a horse, right? I had a vivid imagination. I wanted to see myself there. And then if he was watching football, I'd run in the other room, and I'd get a football. And I'd come out. I had to have a football in my hand if he was watching football. I had a vivid imagination. Anybody else have a vivid imagination when you were a kid? Uh-huh. Some of you don't want to admit it. I had a vivid imagination. I still do. You know, I began to always have things I just think about. Vivid imagination. You know, you could leave me alone. I didn't need a friend. You could leave me alone for hours. You know, I could just play. And not, you know, that was my kid, my son, when he still is like that way too. You know, and you can leave him alone for hours, man, and he can just play and make sounds and stuff. He has a vivid imagination. But, you know, sometimes it's always looked down on, it's always frowned upon because people began to say, well, stop being like, that's a kid's play. That's kids' things. You need to stop worrying about that. Don't do that. People are always worried about someone if they had an imaginary friend. You know? Oh, you can't. You know, they get all worried about it. You know? But people began to kind of stifle people's imaginations. Anybody ever try to stifle your imagination? What about you come up with a plan one day? You said, man, I got this great invention. That's stupid. That'll never work. Then all of a sudden, someone's doing that invention. Man, I had that idea. Then we walk around, well, I could have been, should have been, would have been. Right? All because someone tried to stifle your imagination. See, we think it's just for kids, but it's not. It's a gift from God. Your imagination is a gift from God. Hebrews 11, verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Boy, I think that's a good depiction of an imagination. God created the universe, created the entire universe from an imagination. These are things I imagine that I want. I want to see planets. I want to see people to fellowship with. He began to have this vivid imagination. It says he created it out of nothing. Nothing that could be seen. He must have had just an amazing imagination. But then he comes back and it says, then he brings to Adam and he brings all of the birds of the air and the animals of the ground and he says, name them. Name them. Boy, he had to have an imagination. Had to see an animal and say, I'm going to call that a deer. Wow. Just his imagination that he had to have. God gave him that imagination, right? And he trusted him with it. Here, name them. You know, how many of us don't trust our kids when we get pets to name them, do we? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You ever get a pet and you come to your kid and you say, hey, what do you want to name it? And they come up with some crazy off-the-wall name. You're like, man, I'm not calling that. That is not happening, you know? They have vivid imaginations, and all of a sudden they come up with some crazy name, you know? But that's a stifling imagination. Your imagination can fuel your fear or your faith. Did you know that? Your imagination can fuel your fear or your faith. Because I know last week you talked about scarecrows. You talked about fears, right? What if you saw that and you let your imagination fuel that fear? It was nothing that could harm you. Like he said last week, we're going to look at him and say, that is what's been our thorn in our flesh. That is what's caused me all this grief and all this pain. But right now, our imagination plays a big part in what the enemy is. Right? It's our imagination that sees him as great. It's our imagination that sees him as this crazy, evil, horned thing, you know, that we can't do anything about. But the word says that we will, as Apostle's doing, we will bruise his head with our heel. That means he's under our feet. Now you got to have an imagination of that. Your faith, your imagination can fuel your fear or it can fuel your faith. What do you want it to do? You know, if you begin to get that prophecy, that word, you begin to have that dream, do you let your imagination fuel that? Do you let it fuel that of where you could be, of what God has for you? Your imagination began to fuel that. You know, when I began to talk about crazy things with Tiffany, and she's like, why do you always have all these crazy ideas? I said, why not? Why not? Because if I can imagine it and I can apply my faith to it, who says God can't give it to me? Right? What will people think? I don't care. They can't stifle my imagination. Right? When I started a production business years ago, when I came out of college, I had a little production business, and I created a tagline for my business. The name of the company was iVision Productions Vision, and the tagline said, making all your dreams and visions a reality. Making all your dreams and visions a reality. Because my goal, my job, was as a TV producer, was when someone came in and had an idea of a video, to make it a reality for them. I wanted to take something that they created in their imagination and make it real for them as they saw it, right? There's so many people that are very creative at doing that. But I wanted to take dreams and visions and make them a reality. Today, I want to do the same thing for you. But I want to take the dreams that you've had for your life, the visions that you've had for your life, and let you see a reality in God. Because you have a faith, you have a reality in what God can do for you. Amen? There's things that God wants to do for you that you can't even imagine yet. You can't even imagine what God wants to do for you because your imagination still sees you where you're at. You're stuck in your imagination. You know, over the next 3 weeks, I'll use quite a few quotes on imagination because I found some of them that are so great. But Albert Einstein said, imagination is everything. It is the preview of life's coming attractions. Well, that's a good one. Imagination is everything. It is the preview of life's coming attractions. What do you preview? What previews do you let go through your head? I've talked to some of you. I've heard some of your previews. I don't want to watch that movie. Do you understand what I'm saying? You get up there, well, you know, it's going to happen. That's what I see. Well, I don't. That's terrible. I don't want to go on that ride with you. You know? But because your imagination is so broke, it's so limited, it is so fearful that you can't see what God wants for you. One of the greatest inventors of all time says imagination is everything. Think where we'd be if he didn't have a vivid imagination. Leonardo da Vinci, many people know him as a great painter, but you know he was an inventor? He sketched the first flying machine, but human flight didn't happen until 400 years later. He had the very first sketch of what a helicopter would also be. A helicopter. Then he was the first to design a scuba suit to allow humans to breathe underwater. Leonardo da Vinci. Thomas Edison said, to invent, you need a good imagination and a pile of junk. He designed the first phonograph, right? A device to record sound. And of course, we know he invented the light bulb, right? Alexander Graham Bell, the Wright brothers, all of these had an imagination, then a dream, then a vision. And some of them were lucky enough to see the reality of it come forth, right? So your imagination can be good or it can be bad. And if we fix our imagination, we can use it for good. You know, the one thing that my greatest fear is when I get to heaven and the Lord begins to show what life could have been like, and I see all the things that if I'd only imagined it, I could have done it. I'm like, wow. I kind of imagined that, but I didn't think it was real. I didn't think that could be me. I didn't think I could do that. We sell ourselves short sometimes when we have a big imagination. But we got to begin to change that. We got to begin to fix that. But to fix it, we have to ask ourselves this question. Does my imagination reflect His image? Does my imagination reflect His image? See, John 12:45 says, for when you see me, you are seeing the one who sent me. Jesus said this. He said, when you see me, you are seeing the one who sent me. Do we have that same thing? When people see us, do they see God through us? Do they see Jesus in us? Do we reflect the image of God? See, if you don't reflect the image of God in yourself, then your imagination is without the image of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, so all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. We can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. We got to be able to see it and then reflect it. It says, and the Lord who is Spirit makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. We have to be changed into the image of God. The more that we're changed into the image of God, then it kind of goes to that scripture where it says, we're about our hearts desiring the things of the Lord. When we delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. Right? We have all these desires of our heart. We fuel those with our imagination. But when we're more and more like Him, when we reflect His image, we want the things that God wants for us. The problem with the world today and with people today that call themselves Christians and disciples of the Lord is they don't see the image of God in them, and therefore they don't have the imagination to be who God called them to be. We have to see who God called you to be. Some people don't see yourselves as a teacher. Some people don't see yourself as an articulate speaker and won't get up. Well, I can't share the gospel, you know. I've got a stuttering problem. I can't do this. I can't read well. I can't do this. I can't sing. We begin to label all these things of what we can't do. But all through Scripture, we're given examples of people who had the same problems, the same failures, the same flaws, the same shortcomings as we do. Right? We look at Moses. We saw his shortcomings. We look at David. We saw his shortcomings, right? We've seen these same things that all of them had, but yet we discredit ourselves. Moses began, though, to see the image of Christ in himself. He began to reflect. We have to reflect. We have to see the glorious image of the Lord and began to learn to reflect it, growing more and more like Him daily, becoming more and more like Him. If we become more and more like Him, then our imagination begins to be fueled by His image. It begins to be fueled by His image. You know, the Lord wants to fuel your imagination. He doesn't want you to sell yourself short. Why can't you see yourself how the Lord has planned for you? Think about the words and the prophecies you've been given. We just talked about that this morning. Think about those. Bring them to your remembrance real quick. What did the Lord say? And did you discredit it by saying, oh, that couldn't be me. I can't do that. Why? Why? It's because we haven't grown more and more like Him. We have to ask ourselves, how do we grow more and more like Him? You know, that's the important thing of why we're going to be doing some discipleship. Because it's important to grow more and more like the Lord. To reflect His image more. Man, I want to see a church full of people with vivid imaginations that reflect the image of God. He's given so many creative ideas to so many people. You know, and it's your imagination that fuels that. But we have to begin to learn more about Him, grow more into the things of the Lord so that we can reflect His image in it. It's our imagination that allows those things to happen. And our imagination that allows these things to take place. But sometimes our problem is we imagine a life that we want and not what God wants. And then it's hard to give it up. Well, I've imagined it looking this way. And I got a plan. And I want to go this, this, and this. And these are the things I want. You have to ask yourself, in any thought and any idea that you've ever had, where's God in it? Where's His image in it? Do I reflect Him in this decision? Because when we begin to allow Him to reflect in anything that we do or say, people begin to see it. They begin to see the change in us. They begin to see how God begins to use us. They begin to see how you're blessed in creative ways, right? God wants to bless His people, right? You know, I remember one of the words that Apostle gave someone one day. He said something about He's going to give them the stone, a rock that nobody else had. What's that mean? Right? But when you allow your imagination to begin to go and think, and all of a sudden this couple began to find these molds of this type of rock that wasn't even out yet. The people were doing, this is it right here. And they began to make this and sell it. Right? But it was sometimes through an imagination. A word that sparks your imagination. When you hear a word, does it spark your imagination? Or go, well, that was a stupid. I mean, who has a rock that no one else has? I mean, a rock's a rock. You know? Right? Because sometimes we discredit it because our imagination isn't tied in to the image of God. Ephesians chapter 3. I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 3. Starting in verse 14. It says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how deep, and how high and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. When we look at this scripture, I began to see this. When he starts off, he says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and earth. He began to let his imagination see all that God had created. And he says, I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources. Highlight, unlimited resources. How many know that God has unlimited resources? I want to do an exercise with you today. All right, I want you to think, if you could have one unlimited resource, what would it be? Get it in your head. If you could have one unlimited resource, what would it be? Just one. You can only have one. What would it be? What would it be? Now, is anybody brave enough to tell me? Unlimited resource. We ain't getting super spiritual. Money, okay. Okay. Health. Water. You know, Pat could say land, because then he could develop it. Unlimited work. He wants some boys to work more. It's been on his mind all day. But think about it, if I had unlimited land, look, I could develop, I could build homes, if I had unlimited resource, what would it be? What would I want? What would my unlimited resource be? You know, Solomon asked for wisdom. Solomon asked for wisdom. But yeah, many of us, we come and we think of material things for resources, don't we? And then here's the thing. What happened when you picked that resource? What happened when you thought money, John? What did your imagination do? It began to think of how you could spend it, didn't it? Yeah. Right? See, that's what happens when we begin to think of a resource. We begin to think, well, I want this resource. And if I had this resource, then I could do this with it. And then our imagination begins to run, doesn't it? Well, I could do this, and I could do this, and I could build this, and I could develop this, and I could make this. And we begin to think of all these things that we could do with that unlimited resource. Right? Our imagination begins to go. But Solomon, when he said, I just want wisdom. Give me wisdom. Because he knew that the resources from God are unlimited. And it says, if you look, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Hello. The resources that he has that is unlimited is for your inner strength. It is for your inner strength, to build your spirit man up. It is for, to build it up with wisdom, with faith. What if your unlimited resource was just, I want more faith. I just want to believe God for everything. I'd step out in faith. You know, because I mean, he says if you have faith as small as a mustard, you can say this mountain be moved from here to there, and it will, right? Boy, that sounds like a good resource to have. Faith. What if it was just hope? What if it was love? The greatest gift of all, he says, is love. Would it be, I just want to love God's people. How could you change the world if you just had the love of Christ flowing out of you? I mean the love of Christ, not what we think we got. Because it goes on to say, we don't even fully comprehend how deep and how wide and how high his love is, right? So what if that was it? What if you just had the resource of God? You ever been around somebody that they just loved everybody? Did it annoy you? Hey, I'm going to be, sometimes I get around, man, y'all always trying to love on everybody. I don't, you know, golly, drives me crazy sometimes. But you know what? I wish I had more of God's love in me to be able to love people. You know, sometimes I say I love them enough to smack them side of the head. You know? Come on, I want to be honest. Right? But we gotta, what resources has God given us in our inner man to empower your inner man through the strength of his Spirit? And it says, in Christ, if we will make his home in our hearts so that we can trust in him. So that we can trust in him. What resources is the Lord wanting to give us so that we can trust in him? He's wanting his home to be in our hearts. And I love the last verse of this because it says in verse 20, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think of what we might imagine. Wow. God's power through us, working within us, we can accomplish infinitely more. Now, what's your imagination doing? What is your imagination when you start to see infinitely more? I think that we have a hard time comprehending it, right? We have a hard time comprehending what infinitely we could accomplish with Christ's power and love working through us. You know, we often look at this and we think that all these things that we want and we want to see God move. We want to see God move. We want to see God do this. But God wants to see us. He wants to work through us. Are we allowing Him to work through us? It's His power at work within us that we can accomplish. Do you have things you want to accomplish? Remember, we talked about the dreams. We talked about the visions that you have. God's power working within you will allow you to accomplish those things infinitely more than you can think or imagine. Think or imagine. You know, as a pastor, right, we have plans. We have things we want to see at the church, right? Things we want to build. Things we want to do. How we want to see the church grow. But with God's power working in us, what we want, what we see, what we want, what we dream of is nothing compared to what He has planned. It's nothing. We can't even fathom it yet. But same for your life. It's the same for you. If you have a desire, you know, a couple weeks ago, I preached on Knock Again, talking about the things that you had you dreamed of and you planned on and felt like the door was shut in your face. And it said, knock again. Knock again so that door can be open. Because if you really understand what it's like for the Holy Spirit to work within you, you can keep knocking. Because the door will be open and you can accomplish more than you ever thought of or dreamed of. So what I want to do in this series is help us fix our imagination. I don't want us, when we hear what kind of resource that we have, we began to think about, you know, how much money we could get and if we could buy a vacation home or take a trip or make this plan. Because that's what we do. And, you know, it's okay to think about those things. But we have to ask ourselves, in everything that we think and everything that we imagine, how does this reflect God's image? How does this reflect God's image? What are you doing now to reflect the image of God? Do you reflect Him in your workplace? Do you reflect His image in your family? How do you reflect the image of God? Because if we want to fix our imagination, if we're going to begin to dream big dreams, see visions, we got to see God in it. We got to see God working through us. It's real easy. It's real easy to see God working through someone else. It's real easy to look up here and go, well, you know, a pastor should be doing this. I can imagine what he should be doing. And some of you even tell me, you know. It's easy to imagine what someone else should be doing, right? But what about you? What are you doing? What are you doing for the kingdom of God? How do you reflect His image? How are you accomplishing what He has for you to accomplish? It is only our imagination that limits what God is doing in our lives. If you imagine yourself the head and not the tail, guess what? You're going to be the head and not the tail. Right? If you imagine yourself as first and not last, you will be first and not last. Now, I'm not just giving you a power of positive thinking sermon. Okay? That's not what I'm here doing. I'm not just telling you, oh, think positive and get up every day and say how, you know, great you are and how today you're going to be successful. No. How do you reflect the image of God? How do you put God's image into your imagination? That's what I'm asking. It's not just about positive thinking. It's about growing more and more like Him, as 2 Corinthians said, so that we are more like His glorious image and so that our imagination reflects it. I told you I had a vivid imagination. I had a vivid imagination and I'm not stopped because I think our imagination is the only thing that limits us from seeing what God wants to do. yeah, we have a vision and a plan that we want to see this place full and a building built behind us and another sanctuary built. But you know what I really want to see and I envision in my imagination is you growing deeper in the things of the Lord. You being able to stand on your own feet. You being able to be successful. Do you know I have an imagination of you guys, people in here, owning your own business? I have an imagination of you being millionaires. But you know what? I can have it for you all day long. What's your imagination for yourself? Where do you see it? I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. I believe we can dream dreams and see visions every day. Every day. See, I believe that the only thing that's broken is our imagination. We don't imagine what God has for us in the dreams. We don't imagine what God has for us in the vision. So therefore, we think they're just fairy tale ideas. We think that, oh, I don't know where that idea came from. It's just a fairy tale idea. I hope that would happen one day, but it's not going to happen to me. Right? When we fix our imagination, we see God in it. It changes the way you go about life. It changes. And I'm not talking about fake it till you make it. So I see what God wants to do in His people. And the only thing that breaks my heart, the only thing that hurts me is when we and you are not living up to your potential. When you are not reflecting the image of Christ that I know you've seen. That I know is in you. So many people are missing the potential of what God wants for them because they've let their imagination die. Some people have actually stopped dreaming. Some people have stopped envisioning things because you feel like, well, you know, it never happened. But I want to give you permission to dream. I want to give you permission to vision, to have a vision of what life could look like. You know, it's difficult for some of us because, you know, for Beverly, you may say, you don't know what a dream and a vision of life would look like because William's no longer with you. But God still has a dream and a vision for your life. It didn't stop when he went to be with the Lord. So you have to begin to dream again. Some of you stopped dreaming when you lost a job, when you got a divorce, when you had a miscarriage. You stopped dreaming. You stopped imagining what life could be like because you only saw it to a certain point. Some of you said, well, you know, this marriage didn't work out, so this will never happen for me. It's over. My dream, my vision, everything I had planned in my life is gone. It's over. It's done. So I'm just going to go on with life, live out what I've got, be content. You know, Paul talked about contentment. I want to be content. Right? I don't need no super spiritual humbleness out of you. I want you to imagine what God still has for you. You got to dream big. You got to envision it. And you got to take what you see in your mind and put it into reality by walking it out in faith. How many got some, you would say, I've had some dreams that I've let die, and I want to see those come back to life. Thank you. Because I want to pray that your dreams and your visions revive. You know, it said old men will dream dreams. It don't matter how old you are, right? You just retired. Does that mean your dreams stop? It means they just start. Right? They're going to start. Father, I thank you for dreams and visions of what this life after work looks like. right now, open up his mind and his imagination to what you have for him. In Jesus' name. You know, we have John and Karen back here. Moved from California. They must have had an imagination. They showed up in Kentucky. But you got to just begin to imagine what God wants. Why here, God? What do you have for us here? What is your imagination? What do you have a dream of? What did you say? Well, you know, I've done this for so long, and I expected this to be the outcome and the result of our life, but it felt like a shift. It felt like a turn. Wasn't it planning on that? Now dream again. Maybe you're not seeing what God's positioning you for. You got to begin to imagine that. Because he wants dreams and visions for all flesh, all people. Hallelujah. Father God, I release dreams and visions in this place in the name of Jesus. Father God, I thank you that you're opening up our imaginations to dream dreams and see visions, Father God. I thank you that you're pouring out your Spirit on your people. That, Father God, as they walk through each and every day, that they'll begin to have thoughts, that their imaginations will run wild and reflect your image. I release it over your people in the name of Jesus. I release inventions and ideas. I release new businesses in the name of Jesus. I release products that people will sell. Oh, Father God, I thank you that there are millionaires in this place and their imagination is beginning to open up and see what you have for them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We're not going to stifle our imaginations anymore. We're not going to begin to see what our shortcomings are. Because it said in the word of the Lord that his resources are unlimited. Say, I have unlimited resources. I have unlimited resources. Man, when I began to think of what I would do with unlimited resources, oh, I could make a difference. How many of you could make a difference for the kingdom of God if you had unlimited resources? You know what? Most people have fallen into that kind of trap too. So, well, if I had unlimited resources, this is what I would do for the Lord. What would you do with the resources you got? What do you got now? Well, I have just a little oil. I have just a little oil. I have just a little flour. It's all I got. Give it to the Lord. Watch him multiply it. Don't sell yourself short on the resources you have. That's key. Don't sell yourself short on the resources you have. For us to move into this next phase of discipleship that I want to go into, you can't sell yourself short on your knowledge, on your abilities, what God has given you, because it's valuable for the kingdom of God. Amen? Say, what I got is valuable. Amen. Hallelujah. It's going to be a good series. I have two more sermons for you that I'm not going to dive into today. Sometimes you have to pause. You have to make yourself stop. Because I want you to reflect this. I want you to chew on this. I want this week you begin to dream. I want you to begin to have visions. And ask yourself, filter everything through one question. Does this reflect the image of God? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to dismiss you in prayer today. Would you stand to your feet? Father God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you, Father God, that you had a promise to pour out your Spirit on all flesh, Father God, that we would have dreams and visions, Father God. And I thank you, Father God, right now that that is happening even as we speak, Father God. Just as you poured out dreams and visions, Father God, at the day of Pentecost, Father God, you're pouring out on your church again. You're pouring out your spirit on your church again, Father God. And they'll begin to have dreams and visions, Father God, of what this next great move of God looks like, Father God. They'll begin to have dreams and visions for their family, Father God, of how they see you moving in their lives, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that the lies of the enemy are falling off right now. That the blinders are coming off our eyes, Father God, and we're beginning to see the lies of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, I release the dreams and visions, and I release a creative imagination over your people today, Father God. Lord, let us reflect your image. Let us grow closer to you each and every day. Tug on our hearts, Father God, to know you more. Father God, we give ourselves to you to do with what you will. Father God, let your power flow from within us, Lord, through us, to accomplish your will for our life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you. You're dismissed. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.